When I was
a wee little lad.
No, that's right. That's a different story. When I was younger, I toyed with the idea of being a physician. I liked the idea of being a physician. You know, now I'm a different kind of doctor, but I still write myself notes. Well, let's see. But I like the idea of being a physician. It's always been fascinating to me, and still, it's kind of been a side area of inquiry and curiosity about the way the human body works and the marvels of physiology, the anatomy, biochemistry, all that stuff. It just is one of those things where it always catches my attention. And so a few years ago, it really caught my eye when there was this guy named Alexander Litvinenko. And he was in London. Anybody heard Alexander Litvinenko? You know the name?
Okay, completely irrelevant illustration party right here. But yes,
you remember the name? You remember about him? Yeah, it was all over the news. He was a dissident. So he had been involved in the Russian National Security Organization and had defected, had started to protest and was going to be prosecuted. And so he bailed out of Russia and he found political asylum in London. And in 2006, he had been supporting this business magnate who was a dissident in Russia too, and he had been adding his voice to this guy's voice and supplying information too, insider information. And suddenly in 2006, he came down with an unidentifiable malady, a sudden wasting disease, inexplicable. It started with him just experiencing some nausea, and then rapidly accelerated into organ failure, hair loss, skin eruptions, and just a wasting disease. And the doctors were baffled. The physicians could not find out what was going on with him. They checked him for rat poison. They checked him for viruses. They checked him for bacterial could not find what was wrong with him. And he was showing all of these radical symptoms. Illness. Like, it's a goiter. You need to get that checked. Nah. Let's just put a fig leaf on it. That's better. And the Lord God and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, I like the toddler in them right now. And the Lord said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. That's where I am. I'm hiding." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And this is the way of the Lord, isn't it? He pokes at that thing. He always seems to poke at that thing. Why can't he talk about all the other stuff? He pokes at that thing in our lives. Because that thing is an issue. That thing needs poking at. When you go to the physician doesn't say, "Well, let's talk about all the parts of you that are good." Right? Physician looks at the x-ray and goes, Well, you know, don't poke at that. Does it hurt? Yes. Something happens in them, though, that damages them beyond
beyond the capacity to pass on who they were before.
We're gonna say that Danny has a thing for, he just wants a nice, warm feeling. And you know, San Onofre's all closed down now, and they haven't really defueled it yet. So he just goes and he takes his beach chair and just goes sits by the reactor there. And I'm like, I like the tingle on my skin. I get that nice glow afterward. What's going to happen to him? Huh? He's going to die. That's one thing. He's going to die. What else? He's going to get sunburnt, He's going to get radiation burnt. Yeah. What's going to happen to his kids if he has kids? Like,
but Daddy, how did you see behind you if you only had two eyes? Right?
All right?
How could you hang from trees with no tail? Right?
See, any damage that he gets to his DNA is in his line permanently. Whatever changes in him, he passes on because you cannot give what you don't have. And with Adam and Eve, they break themselves in terms of holiness and they can no longer pass on who they were. They have to pass on who they are, unfortunately. And they broke their capacity to be in righteous relationship with God. And it comes out on the other side of the generations, which is where I really want us to look at today. Look at chapter 4. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve. She was a female woman, by the way. She didn't just identify, okay? And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And with Adam. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Now, the fact that Abel brings lambs and Cain brings fruit is not a big deal in the Israelite tradition. There's lots of grain offerings in the Israelite tradition. They had lots of grain offerings and wine offerings and this cake and that oil and all that. It's not the stuff. It's God says, I want this one, I don't want that one. You know? Can we allow God, by the way, to be arbitrary? Well, you're going to say that it's, you know, it's your anniversary. How many of you guys remember your anniversary? Good, remember. It's your anniversary. And you go, you know what? Like for me, what I would not do on my anniversary is say, oh, I'm going to bring Wendy's spicy Thai food. She doesn't like spicy stuff. It's an ongoing thing. And I have tried to convince her that she should. Right? Now you hear, right? Why should I convince her that she should? You should like spicy things. Spicy, it's probably better just to go, she doesn't like it. I'll get her something else. That's not Cain. God loves Cain, and Cain has a wonderful plan for God's life. And they both bring offerings, and the Lord says, you know what? I like this one. How dare you like that one? I like this one. You can't like that one and not like mine equally.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because I know what's fair in the universe. I'm going to tell you what's fair in the universe.
Really? God can't have any personal preferences. God can't have any personal favorites. God can't have, like, one thing above another. We arrogate that right to ourselves. But certainly God can't. God has to be egalitarian. So he's snitty. Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And this is what I want to look at. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? It's like, you're the one who brought me the thing I didn't like. Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? It's like, you bring me something I don't like, I say I don't like it, and you're angry? Verse 7, here's what I want us to see. If you do well, won't your countenance be lifted up? And if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. And you better master it. Boy, is that a warning or what? Like, Lord going, okay. What? So why are you angry? He says, you know, you do what I want, everything's going to be fine. You don't do what I want, you better be aware, sin, and it's the verb is like it's a crouching beast. Like, says, sin has got your number. It is crouching, and it wants you. And buddy, you better put control on that thing. You better get a handle on that. It will eat you alive, he says. Sin wants you. Now, this is the first mention of the word sin in the Bible. Before this, it was only just about the commands in life and death. And if you notice, with Adam and Eve, they're kind of like toddlers all about it. They're really kind of silly, misguided, and kill themselves, but they are silly in it. And it doesn't talk about sin, it talks about disobedience. Okay? They disobey. Cain is the one who faces the warning about sin. This Hebrew verb, chatat, is, and Harris has made a lot about it being missing the mark, and I think he misses the mark on it missing the mark. Okay? Because it means you're supposed to do it this way, and it... Mm-mm. Roughly in contemporary English, it's blow it or fail. Okay? You miss the mark because you blew it. You miss the mark because you fail. And Old Testament has lots of instances of chatat being about sinning against a person. You don't miss a mark against a person unless you're aiming for them. But you do blow it against a person. You do the wrong thing. You're supposed to do one thing and you do the twisted thing. Right? It's blow it. It's fail. It's epic. Tennis. Anybody play tennis? You go to serve. That serve, you don't do the serve right. What's it called? Fault. Okay? That's the idea of sin. Now, it means out of bounds or off the mark, but it really means you blew the serve. That's chatat. And there's this fault that has your number, and it wants to crawl inside you and rip your skull out. And you better put a handcuff on that thing. Better put it on a choker chain. That's a warning from God. Sin wants to get you. Now, I'm going to be quite forward with you. I don't like talking about sin. I don't like it. I don't. I like talking about the nice stuff. I want to talk about the wonders that God has for us. I like the beauty of salvation.
You know the moment that I decided not to be a physician? It's when I realized I would be working on sick people all day. I loved healthy bodies. I loved healthy physiology. And I realized, oh, the people walking into my office, if I was a physician, they would be stinky. With like, you know, hi, I want you to meet my friend Abscess. All right? And that thought of dealing with disease all day long, I just went, nope, I'm going to be an artist. Okay? And that's what I went to do. You know? Isn't it funny that health clinics deal with disease? If you're a physician, you love health, but you deal with disease. As a theologian and as a pastor, I love spiritual health, but we've got to look at disease. We've got to look at pathology and sin, and this is where it comes from. See, the thing about polonium is it leads all the physicians astray. That's why it's a perfect poison. Because it makes them think that the problem is something else. It's a virus. It's rat poison. It's bacteria. It is septicemia. It is. And as they're looking at everything but polonium-210, and all God's people said, huh? What? The person dies. And usually they just bury them and stop looking. But by the way, that's what happened with Yasser Arafat. Okay? 2008, was it? No. Yeah, 2008. His wife gave, or he died, and then his wife later gave approval, it was just a few years ago, for his body to be examined. Guess what they found in all of his personal effects? In his keffiyeh, his toothbrush. Guess what they found? Polonium-210. No, they haven't checked, they haven't exhumed his body yet, but they found it in his keffiyeh. You know, you don't just pick that up at the airport. Takes a nearby country with a nuclear reactor to get that to you, especially if you're in their custody, right? And everybody was looking at something else. Now look at this with Cain. And Cain told Abel, his brother, verse 8. So Cain told Abel, you know what? The Lord took yours, didn't like mine, and he told me, you better put a handle on that thing. Huh. And it came about that when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Does this sound like a familiar question? Where are you? Where is Abel, your brother? I'm just looking for people around here. They keep disappearing. See, now, Adam and Eve go, we're hiding over here. You can't see me. I have a fig leaf in front of my face, right? But how does Cain respond? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Whoa, Captain Attitude. He doesn't respond with that innocent admission of guilt, which is kind of a strange phrase, but it's the truth, an innocent admission of guilt. He denies it flat out. He goes, what? Wait, you asking me? The man's a grown-up. He doesn't answer the question, except to die. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. The Lord says, what have you done? I'm telling you, I've got you good to rights on video. And how does Cain respond?
And now, and this is God speaking, and now you're cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you, and you're going to be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, that punishment is too much.
Does he even admit that he killed his brother? No. He never owns up to it. You know, there's not that many people in the world. One of them has gone missing. God appears and says, I know what you did, and here's what you did, and here's why you did it. And you won't fess up. And he goes, you know, that's just unjust of you. Note how the problem is everywhere but with Cain. The problem is Abel. I'll kill him. That'll deal with it. That'll make the Lord accept your sacrifice. Good job there. Great idea, boss. Yeah. Well, here's my offering, Lord. Well, where's your brother's offering? I don't know. Like, that's really going to help you with the Lord. The problem is Abel. The problem is the Lord's playing favorites. God, you're playing favorites. God, you're unjust. Don't tell me that that's too much. Or don't tell me that that's too much. The problem is everywhere but in Cain. And he just won't fess up with it, and sin gets him. And the Lord even protects him. Here's what I need to tell you. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? But the Lord searches the hearts. There is so much today that says, trust your heart. Don't. Follow your heart. Don't. Don't. You will deceive yourself. You will die. And the state of the human condition is that sin has entered in, and sin is real. Sin is real. Sin is a beast. Sin is the problem. And the world's saying, no, 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 sin's not the problem, it's this other problem. And it's sin masquerading as everything else. The physician's with a guy with polonium 210, and they're going, it's, and we're going, it's the way I was raised. It's my tendency toward addiction. It's my attachment. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. Sin is the problem. Not your biochemistry, not the way you were raised, not your inputs, not the doctrine. Sin is the problem. Sin is in the world. Sin is 100% fatal, and sin is inside each one of us, and we cannot get it out. And that wasting feeling that we have that something is desperately wrong is right. That nausea and the teeth falling out and the hair falling out of our lives. And something's saying, something's broken. Something's wrong in my mind and in my heart and in my will and in my soul. Something's wrong. That feeling is absolutely accurate. Believe that. That's going ding, 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 ding. Sin is here and deadly. Now, ordinarily, with most kinds of toxicity, even some kinds of heavy metal toxicity, you can chelate it out, right? You put stuff in the blood to which the heavy metals tend to bond. They have an affinity for it. And then you can leach that out ordinarily. With some, at least decrease. Polonium doesn't do that. There's no chelation therapy for it. It's just there, hot in your bones. You know, they, like radium, like the radium girls at Madame Curie, after Madame Curie, the ones who were painting the dials, they would, radium's the same way, and polonium, she discovered radium and polonium at the same time, but they would lick the paintbrushes when they were painting radium dials. and they ingested radium. They dug their bones up 50 years later. They're still just screaming with radiation, just cooking with the stuff in your bones. And we keep saying it's just the flu. What if someone had gone to Litvinenko and said, I know the problem, it's polonium? He would have known what it was. They'd used it before. He would know, I'm a dead man. He suspected it anyway. He kept saying, I've been assassinated. Imagine if one person could walk up to him and say, I know there's no chelation, but there is one way. I have a unique blood structure, and you can chelate over to me. I'll sit in that chair, you sit in that in this chair. And if they transfuse us like a dialysis machine, I will chelate your polonium to me. It'll kill me, but I'm willing to do it. How would it feel to be Litvinenko? First question is, would you take it? Would you take up the offer? Somebody said, I love you enough to chelate that out of you, and I will take death inside me. And the second thing is, how humbly would you receive it if you did take him up on it? And how would you feel if you sat there or laid there in the bed and the tubes were hooked up and you knew every milliliter this pumps from me to him is death? Thank you. Would you send flowers? How would you say thank you? How do you say thank you to something like that? Especially if you watch that person die the next week of acute radiation syndrome. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, it's broken for you. That's the core of Christianity. It says in John 1, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who chelates the sin into himself and gets poisoned by it. Like it says in Corinthians, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has made a way out of the trap of sin. He has made a way out. That's at the core of the Christian message. God has made a way out of the impossible, fatal situation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And as we take him up on that, the core is to do so humbly and with gratitude. Not with a sense of shame, just with an overwhelming sense of thank you. What could I do?
I was dead.
He gave me life.
Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we get that, we can spread this gospel message. That's what we will celebrate today in the water. I'm a dead man, and I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all we can say. Thank you for taking care of the sin thing. Couldn't beat it. Couldn't control it. It's too deep. Thank you, though. Thank you for pulling it out of us and putting it into you. Bless you, Lord Jesus. You are the only solution. In your name, to your glory. Amen. Please stand.